interrupting the current neo-colonial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 563. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind that woodshed. Teach those miscreants. Move right to it. We have a lot to say always. So many things to talk about. I don't even know what to choose anymore. So much to go on. If I had the time, we would be doing a daily almost now, but I can't. So, and then for what? I mean, most people really can read. I try to go through and try to show you this has been told to us. These things have been going on. They've been setting up against us as people. They really don't have any respect for the people. They'll claim they do. They serve and protect. They don't tell who. Then we find out after a while, you read a little bit, you know who. It's them. The they. And we found that in the Covey swindle. Didn't care about you. Didn't care about the law. And a lot of people give up at that point. Say, well, there's no law, then what's the point? Well, that's the point. What are you going to stand for at some point? There's something that has to be done. And what the occupier gets to do has always been amazing to me that we put up with it. And I've made some observations about how we start to work against this. If we will. If we choose to be a lot more free than what we've got right now, there's a whole lot of things that need to be done. It's almost insurmountable in some regard when you look at it, but it's, I think we look at it too with our own blinders on and our own capabilities, and I can just say it's not going to be something that any one of us can do. We will be pulling all of our skills together as best we can if we choose to do so. And before I go too much further, to do that, to hear the word, if you will, the word that I spread, reallibertymedia.com, is requiring donations. We're very, very close to quelling the beast of the fees. What I would ask you, though, we're discussing this with Sound Minds, and we'd like to take a little bit extra and get more bang for the buck. In other words, put more money up if we can do it. When they have to make the bills are coming real due real quick, if they can make the better purchase more time in the future, they get better time, better, more frugal use of the money. So if we can get more, quickly at the very end here for this batch, please, if we can donate some more, I really appreciate the generous donations that have been coming in. We can maybe make more bang for the buck here at the late bit of it, and we can extend move the payment of the domain down a couple years, and then the guys and the gals can get focused on the distribution. And there's, like I said, there's quite a bit of interesting things coming on. There is going to be an almost unstoppable, I can't really see it stoppable, but you never know what you don't know. So unstoppable amount of pathways to get the word out. And there's going to be coming, I understand, more hosts coming on network as this situation gets worked out. And there's going to be more content to put out and going 24/7. And not just the XYZ site, but across lots of platforms. And I'm thinking there's going to possibly, one of the ideas is to have an app that will allow you to go through all these places when you want to. And the idea is to make this thing completely, if you will, Web3 or Web 4.0. But for the content, as relative to the search, the censorship that's going on. And so if you want to be part of that, please step up now, at least we can get the domains, all the services, the features that are right now here needing to be paid. If we get that done, if we can make a little bit bigger chunk of payment, we can get better bang for our buck, if you will. We go down a little bit further, get rid of the oppression, if you will, of the constant pressure to keep the domain running. It'll be paid. Then we can focus our attention on, I think, pretty exciting stuff. I hope you will join me in that. And I can only say I can only be here to try and continue my content that a lot of people have stepped up to say they want to see it going. So that's been difficult this last year or so, but we continue. And that's kind of encouraging. Beyond that, we have a really big, seemingly exciting to me, I don't know about anybody else, exciting future relative to exercising this interwebs, as Grimner would say, the interwebs, as I've said. So, if you will, find the donate button on the website. You go to PayPal, you see Sound Minds, that's he's taking care of the bills, and so that you know that that's who, it's not now Grimner like it was, or Real Liberty Media, it's going to be Sound Minds. And he's been taking care of all the administration of the back end of the website and keeping it going. It's been a real work to do this. So, again, appreciate all the donations that have come in. We're right at that edge, so I'd like to actually see it. I was looking. It wasn't going to be that much more to go ahead and put these more bang for the buck in if we just got it. So I'm asking you, if you will, step forward. And in the future, you'll be able to, we may have things we want to add. We may be asking for underwriting for those things or donations, if you will. Or actually, there's a provision where people can actually participate in the structure of the network as it moves forward. So I'm kind of tongue-tied here. I'm a little bit excited. I haven't been excited about this for, and I'm excited. For me, it's just the word getting out. That's the exciting part. But for who's coming together and what they want to do, this is really kind of a neat thing. So I would like to see people support that. If you support my work, if you will, step up right now, and we'll get that taken care of. The domains will be saved here real shortly if we can get that done. And then we can turn our attention to much more interesting things, I think, and we'll let you know as it goes. It's kind of a little bit of a question mark now, but most of the capacity is already sitting there. It just needs to be put together and some time figuring out the best pathways through all this in order to get it to function properly. And really easily, Vince, we're going to do it as easily for y'all as possible. I've been saying, you know, don't make it complicated. You know, whatever we want to call the Web 3.0 or Web 4.0, make it point and click. We should be able to be there by now. And there are tools that are really close to doing that. So kind of neat stuff. But so that we're not hogtied relative to the domain and the hosting and the features and the BossCast or whatever service we find better. And then the additional stuff that's going on for distribution. We're doing the last push here. We're still in the month of February. And so we'll just officially do the donation. I'm just knowing that there's going to maybe some things coming up front. But we have to end the hog tying, and that's where we're going to go right now. A U.S. state moves to ban hog tying by police. Now, I always read these titles, and I don't understand how they even exist. But this is America. This is the country that we've been born into, and this is what happens in a post-founding father era and under the Lincolnization of military districts. The U.S. Justice Department has long warned that the controversial restraint method leads to deaths of suspects in custody. Now, we go to the U.S. Justice Department, the occupier itself, the federal military occupier, and they say it's no good. Now, you'd think that people would have decency amongst themselves, but let me go through here on this report. The U.S. state moves to ban hog tying by police. The United States Justice Department has long warned that the controversial restraint method leads to deaths of suspects in custody. The Washington State Senate has unanimously approved a bill that would prohibit law enforcement from hog tying suspects, with some lawmakers suggesting the technique led to the death of Tacoma Man in 2020. The legislation sailed through the Senate without opposition on Tuesday during the vote. Democratic State Senator Yasmin Trudeau cited that the case of Manuel Ellis, a 33-year-old man who suffocated in police custody after his hands and feet were cuffed together behind his back, a restraint commonly known as hog tying. The U.S. Department of Justice has also urged against hog tying since at least 1995. I gotta stress how long these corruptions have been in the system. We think it's just yesterday or whatever since Kobe Swindler or what? No, these things have been longstanding. It's what I found in other places as well, not just the penal system, not just the police, protect and serve them, and how they mistreat us. It's in lots of areas of government. But 1995, when it released a bulletin, the Department of Justice released a bulletin suggesting that officers, quote, never tie handcuffs to a leg or ankle restraint. The memo said that the restraint could lead to positional asphyxia, a condition resulting from a lack of oxygen. A medical examiner ruled Ellis's death in the police custody as a homicide caused by the lack of oxygen, for which three Tacoma officers were later charged with murder or manslaughter. All were acquitted late last year following a 2-month trial. However, with the defense arguing Ellis's death was actually the result of heart disease and drug use. Now, place yourself in what's been going on about heart disease and drug use and some other people who've died at hands, police hands, and they're in jail. So this was kind of interesting, too. The Tacoma Police Department has since updated. It took a death. Now, this is the other thing. Follow all this. It's not just a natural thing for police or the government just to fix this really quick. No, 1995, and then it just recently updated the use of force policy, with Chief Avery Moore stating the previous guidelines, quote, failed to serve the best interests of the police department or the community. I got to interject on that word community. It's not you. It's them. It's the government as a whole, that community. It's the community of the occupiers under color. You notice them when you see them, folks. The police operate under military whatever. Ranks, order, time, commands, all this stuff. And so there's a policy. I want to point this out. So it just failed to serve the police. But you notice there's no, didn't fail conscience, no morals involved here, no consideration for their fellow man before we die, or even after being told what sort of vicious animals are these when they don't. What are we dealing with in these people? And it doesn't sound any different than I hear coming out of the open-air prison in Palestine and the treatment of the civilians there. Yeah, maybe scope and scale, but not much different in how you see the treatment done. Here again, this abuse can be contained at the policy level if you don't want to be the next Manuel Ellis, enjoying wrongful extortions of every kind. Those are your civil rights, folks. Right? You can read it for yourself at 42 U.S.C. 1981. These are long-standing, reprehensible policies that need to be changed. Now, if you listen to what that report just said, the coroner was saying that the cause of death was lack of oxygen. Some attorney got a bunch of stupid jurors to believe that a 33-year-old dying from a supposed prior heart condition wasn't caused by his mistreatment at the hands of the occupiers, that the coroner identified was the lack of oxygen. However, even so, as the FBI had done before. Are we following this? This is just willful. Only just recently the policy gets updated, and that's important. I've been telling you about those policies. Even so, the policy. After 2020 now, if not for Manuel Ellis being killed on March 3rd, 2020, remember the timing of COVID, so this is right before they started to do all this stuff, so we can't really blame that. But here a coroner says one thing, an attorney comes in and says another, and the jury goes with the attorney. Should set up the idea of the dynamic within a people that are suffering Stockholm Syndrome. And this is what we're up against. We move out of March 3rd, which is before the COVID swindle. We move after. What possible now other thing could now contribute to that age group dying suddenly, which should make it clear people are even more susceptible to dying suddenly at the acquittable hands of official killers by the same government that caused the new compounding vulnerabilities when in its entirety it failed to enforce the requirements in its own local communicable disease law during the great COVID swindle, which as well didn't serve the community. You put these things together, it stops making sense. How you solve it is they need to do these policies, these laws. They needed to enforce them. What I've been telling everybody to make sure that they do in absence of any other adjustments. See, there are people repeatedly die at the hands of government agents, and that can only be restrained by the legislation is proved again in this thing. And the state actors don't protect and serve you unless it's to serve you up to the plunder and your destruction, and then get a stupid populace to agree with them. This is astounding to me. And how agreeable is that populace? Again, if the great COVID swindle is any measure, 80% of the population agrees with their captors. So I want to get back to this. What do I do behind the witch end? I don't just bring news. It's a notice. It's telling us what's been going on. It's been underneath in our lives, whether we ever, you know, us that are law-abiding never see this stuff. I don't even know what the problem there with why the arrest was. But if you've ever had to encounter the cops, they're not nice. They can be, but they're not. On the other hand, I can't say they're all bad, so let's not go there. The point is that when someone dies and there hasn't been the capital punishment judgment, that's a wrongful death. And if you don't think so, look at what's going on in Palestine. Everybody understands that's wrong, and yet it continues. And so understand that equation, that reflection as well. As I bring these things up, I only use the news as a starting point. But looking at that last story, is this next story, the U.S. Senate rejects measures to force human rights report on Israel, the reason why, or one of the underlying reasons. The U.S. Senate rejected a resolution on Tuesday that would have frozen security aid to Israel unless the State Department produces a report within 30 days examining whether Israel committed human rights violations in its campaign against Hamas in Gaza. 72 senators voted to set the resolution aside versus 11 who backed it, easily clearing the simple majority needed to kill the resolution in the 100-member chamber. What's kind of astonishing here just on this point is that you understand when a state takes federal money, the federal laws attach, the federal obligations, there's agreements and contracts, and there's accountability built in. How is it that these Congress critters, in the Senate in particular, would vote to stop an accountability on someone they're giving money to, who they witness already is committing, is killing women and children, elderly and innocent, and killing politics, the governmental established by those people, notwithstanding the oppression that's going on in Gaza, the open-air prison, and there's a recognition in belligerent occupants in the law of war that the civil side is to be protected, if not not harmed anyway. That's what's going on. And this government, the United States government, does not want to find the accountability in handing over money to support essentially genocide. And I'll have a report and some links about that here coming in the broadcast to show that this is being more clearly identified. What isn't genocide and what has been said to prevent is an implication of genocide and the politics that's involved in all this stuff. It's no different than the politics you're involved in your country where you're supposed to be the beacon of freedom and justice and all that stuff. And why would accountability be a problem for over there in Israel? Over 30 hostages held by Hamas in Gaza confirmed dead. And this is reported by the IDF. Israel launched retaliatory strikes, ordered a complete blockade of Gaza, and started a ground incursion into the Palestinian enclave with the declared goal to eliminating Hamas fighters and rescuing hostages. But remember, a reported that the Zionist Federation occupiers were killing their own in that story where there was three Israelis, no shirts, white flags, speaking Hebrew, had I think even SOS written on a wall. They were killed by the IDF. And then I referenced the Hannibal Protocol that came up presently in that issue. And I also remind you that almost none of the claims by the illegal Zionistas over there have been shown to be true. As we continue to read about this and the IDF making the report, you got to listen very carefully. Remember, look for things that are not omitted. And that's what I'll direct you to in a moment here. The New York Times reported that at least 32 Hamas hostages remaining in Gaza were dead, citing an internal military assessment. 20 others are also believed to have been killed. 4 unnamed officials were quoted as saying. 31 of the remaining hostages held by Palestinian movement Hamas in the Gaza Strip have been pronounced dead, Israeli Defense Forces spokesman Daniel Hagari said. Importantly here, though, this is a report by the IDF, and there's no mention at all on who or what killed the hostages in the first place. It is reported, though, that Harari gave no details about how they lost their lives. So surely the Zionistas would take opportunity to blame Hamas more than mention mere Hamas hostages here, as we read that and listen for that. And it seems, had the barbaric Biden Bibiites not been intent on their genocide, a truce would have been declared so that they would have already gotten those hostages, so-called, out. And just in this regard, Israel caused the death of those hostages, so-called. Remember also, it was been reported on the day of the resistance, Israel was laying waste to everyone, including their own rave-goers, hell-firing their cars as they tried to escape. And it is said Hamas was actually protecting people by bringing them into Gaza after they did their incursion, away from the certain death, which has been, that area been perpetually bombed and unsafe to travel since then. And the return of the hostages, so-called, praising those that have returned, have praised Hamas on their treatment. So we don't see a whole lot of wrong happening on Hamas that they can blame. And so you didn't hear it. And that's what's interesting in this story. I was listening very carefully who they were going to blame on it. They don't even talk about it. Don't even address it. So accountability. We talked about the Senate doesn't want to ask for this. Why? Why would you think they wouldn't want to do that? Unless they're knowledgeable and complicit. This is accountability is a foreign concept to the beholden U.S. uniparty occupiers of America. As this is their pet state of Israel, so-called. As I've argued, this should not be a state. It should not have been recognized. Every nation that recognized this political movement to be able to overthrow and take over a territory that wasn't theirs is complicit in why you're not seeing much action. So you here in America are not important. Israel and protecting Israel is sacred. As explained, these are not my words. I just come up with this by reading it from other people. This is stated by the ZIO agent officer, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. So genocide it will be at American expense. And I hope my listener understands that the moral debt here to be paid is not merely in money, fiat, even so, but its very soul. We're watching our nation crumble because of this cancer inside it. It's immoral considerations going on. Not even a whim of accountability and correction. They'd have to look at themselves. And we're watching how this has been a completely corrupt condition. It's one thing to say government's corrupt. It's another to be a witness to that, the facts of it, and watch it muddle around as it tries to make sure think you're not watching, and you're not, and you don't respond while you witness it. And this is what they watched, and they waited for, and they watched, and they did. I said part of Covey Swindle was to see, would you recognize hindsight, Operation Hindsight 2020, would you recognize what they did to you in 2001? Would they recognize to you what they're going to do to you in 2020? Would you recognize how corrupt they were? When you did, would you do anything about it? 80% of the population said, okay, that's fine. So the American people are going to pay this debt beyond fiat. And we can see that as that's the news. And interesting, it's a negotiated diminishment of value here. Now it's U.S. Senate advances a standalone $95 billion foreign aid to pay for this genocide, help pay for. It's been said, no different than Ukraine, if the United States stopped supplying the instruments of war and the cash to pay for it, these things stop in weeks. In fact, we'll be getting to the most newsworthy, that shouldn't have been newsworthy, but newsworthy thing this week, the interview with Putin, and he says that. He just comes right out and says that. That's not even new news. This is known. So what I'm saying is that these senators, these Congress critters, are advancing this bill knowing it's killing people. And they know that if they don't, this stuff stops. It's not just that they're co-conspirators and then they fund it. It's that they know that while they're funding it, is continuing it. The U.S. Senate advanced a standalone $95 billion foreign assistance bill Thursday by a vote of 67-32, setting up a final vote of $60 billion in aid to Ukraine and $14 billion in assistance for Israel. After hours of negotiation, the Senate cleared the 60-vote threshold needed to advance the final vote on the aid package that includes billions of dollars in assistance for Indo-Pacific countries to confront Chinese aggression. There's your Taiwanese issue. These people know that they're funding war. And we can make up a lot of scary monsters. And this is what gets people. So I don't know why they're doing this, but the Senate Majority Leader Chuck. Is that Wood Chuck Schumer? Do you see his shadow? I think all these folks always see their shadow. They're pretty gloomy. It introduced the measure late Wednesday after a $118 billion bipartisan border security agreement failed in the Senate despite months of negotiation. A lot of waste of time there on top of it. See, bipartisan is uniparty. So we can just kind of throw that in there as well. They intend to fund this crime that's going on in the world that the United States fosters, encourages, incites, causes to be available. And we're going to hear that coming out. Relative to the $118 billion that was turned down here just recently, and moving along, you see it stepping down until someone finally capitulates. A lot of this is based in that border deal condition. They want to protect everybody else's borders, but not ours. And that seems to be a big hooking point. But to tell you the truth, as long as it's not spending appropriating money, I'm kind of good with it. What else are we going to do? If you're not paying for it, then they're going to have to find it somewhere else. And listen very carefully. They are. They're looking very carefully. If it's not coming from the United States, they can go other places. Another story I won't get to, Ukraine's going to go to the IMF. They're going to do some kind of a deal if they can get that through. But based on that $118 billion, which doesn't seem to be, it's just the amount of money, $95 billion is good enough. Maria Teresa Soares on VK responded on the idea of paying money. Yippee! MICIMATT party! New humongous U.S. Senate bill, war bill, will finance forever wars in Ukraine, Israel, Yemen, and the Holy Grail, Taiwan. And the MICIMATT is the Military Industrial Congressional Intelligence Media Academic Think Tank Complex. It's organized corruption of government, whether or not any of these bills become law. There is an intention behind them. As I understand, there is more money appropriated for Ukraine than the Marines right now, with all the graft and laundering going on. Who do you think these representatives work for? Because it doesn't look like the security of the people is what they're looking for. But it's looking like they want to continue to threaten the people. Because for all the bluster of military superiority, what is that money paying for more than U.S. government cognitive warfare? Again, they want to keep the public agreeing. This is what it's all about. I told you the same thing about Putin. I identified how he was doing that before they went to their special military operation. They've got to keep the public support and confidence. And right now, they got Kobe Swindle to help 80%. We see the number right up there. We just heard that the government agents and police, military police, civilian, we'll call it, can hogtie you. And when they do and they kill you, a jury will support that. I don't see much different in the government. I think this is all one big reflection. So the biggest military-industrial media complex in the world provides what kind of superiority against one of the poorest countries who have decided to defend them, to defend the oppressed, came to my mind when I'm seeing all this money's going out, not to defend us. Who's standing up against it? And what are we getting in that defense? We're told is such a superiority in this. This is another style of organized corruption of the government in faraway lands, as here in the United States that I've been covering. I said, if you look out, so people don't, they may tune in and they hear I'm talking about out there somewhere else on subject matters they may not be interested in. If you listen carefully and you have over years, you see I bring it right back. You can look out over there, out there in other countries, see what the United States is doing, and in some form or fashion, they're doing it to us. And I do that to show us that we need to have better eyes to see how we're an oppressed people, how we are occupied, how we are oppressed. The same things that you'll see people, championing civil rights, I show you, is actually an extortion and coercion against you, and it's lawful. A punishment, a pain, a penalty, a tax, a fee. These things, coming from the government, hogtying, apparently, are your civil rights. People don't see that. When they see a violation out there, they think I'm talking out there. I'm saying, stop, don't turn away. A lot of people will go away. Don't listen too long. If you listen long enough, you start to hear, and you start reading where I tell you to go read, and you start seeing it, see the words for yourself. You'll realize what is done outside is done inside. It's a methodology. It's a part of a plan. And some of these plans are repeated because they work. So another style of organized crime, as I've been pointing out there, Imran Khan in Pakistan, sentenced to a third prison term in a week. So listen to this. I mean, they just keep hitting this guy. And the United States, CIA, does not like this guy. And so now we're watching what happens to someone who goes for a presidency of a country that doesn't like that guy. And I've pointed out in the past, does it sound familiar with the United States? What you see out there is happening in its similar form in the United States. Imran Khan sentenced a third term. A Pakistani court ruled that the former prime minister's 2018 marriage violated Islamic law. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan and his wife Bushra Bibi have been sentenced to 7 years in prison and fined about after a court declared their marriage unlawful on Saturday. It was the third ruling against Khan this week. So you see, it doesn't matter what the charge. They just charge you and charge you and charge you. And this judiciary is bought. It's a part of the government that is being ruled by the CIA. And do any kind of basic study, you'll start to see how this works. Imran Khan, however, argued that the case was brought to, quote, humiliate and disgrace him and his wife. He said, this marks the first instance in history where a case related to a dot has been initiated. Again, a first case in all this time, a dot. A dot is a mandatory 3-month waiting period that a woman must abide by under Islamic law after the death of her husband or a divorce before marrying another man. Understand, it may be a big deal. Maybe I'm going to insult this religion, but it seems like a small thing to put them away for 7 years anyway. But that's how trivial this thing is. That's what they'll pile anything on. Khan's representatives say he will appeal all three cases, the sentences that add up to 34 years, and will be served concurrently. The civil court was set up in Rawalpindi prison, where the ex-PM has been held since August last year on more than 100 charges. Sentences came before the parliamentary election on February 8th, that Khan, who remains popular among voters, is barred from contesting. 100 charges, folks. Does that sound familiar in the United States? Another group the CIA doesn't like? Another candidate the CIA doesn't like? On Wednesday, Khan, along with his wife, were sentenced to 14 years terms in illegally selling state gifts, and the state before Khan has been given 10 years in prison for leaking state secrets. He claimed the cable he released to contain evidence of collusion between Pakistani military and U.S. officials to have him removed from power in April of 2022. Khan, a cricketer, not the type I talk about, this is the entertainment type, a cricketer, a turned politician, has ousted in a no-confidence vote in 2022 with the opposition accusing him of mismanaging the economy and foreign policy. Khan has dismissed all these charges against him as politically motivated. Let me just offer it's a little bit more convoluted here in the States and a lot harder to get at because there are many states, but the election problems is, I think, can be looked at this way as well, where Trump said this is wrong and then he couldn't get the courts to look. Apparently, he may have had incompetent attorneys as well. I don't know. It just didn't seem. I told you my hesitation on all these attorneys. They just didn't seem to have the right thing. But I think I can read in here the same kinds of ideas relative to the officialness, relative to the United States, Trump, and the election side, that he would make those allegations and they would just shush that up. In other words, your judiciary is not what we might think it is, as I advocate all the time. It isn't. And I've shown you over and over how it's not, and how it works in a private organization made public under the color of a branch of government. And so, anyway, here we go. Keep going here. Khan has evidence of collusion between the Pakistani military and U.S. officials to have him removed from the power in April 2020 and suffers a no-confidence vote in 2022. And then there was more charges. And the U.S. and Pakistan military nuclear power, to remind you, is involved. You think this is is this politically motivated? I don't think. I think it's inescapable. So if the U.S. will do that there to a popular high-ranking official and candidate, popular one no less, might we see some of that here in Trump, in this so-called republic that we're supposed to keep and didn't? What might one think happens when military and non-elected officials Trump, the Republic, and the people sit on their hands watching, even participating, as those jurors did. So when I say we got a lot to think about and then figure out what to do, I'm just not whistling Dixie. South should rise again. No, not the way it's been promoted to us. No, there was a non-dependence that was required of producers that is the backbone of a country. And they tried to step away, and they weren't allowed. That's not a civil war. And so, this is what you get brought in. This is the presumptions of guilt upon us, of attachments. has it's the same similar character. I can't say the same. It's a similar character. And so another type of con going on, not the con in Pakistan, but you get to pay for your demise on this one here, folks. Who do the Congress critters represent again? Whoever read the article, U.S. taxpayers sent $60 million to the WEF. Last Friday, U.S. House Republicans submitted a bill to stop paying American tax dollars to fund the notorious World Economic Forum. What? What? You haven't heard about it? Then read on in this article. I'm sure you'll find this interesting. Apparently, unbeknownst to most Americans, the U.S. government has given away more than $60 million to the WEF between 2013 and 2022, if you thought they just reared their ugly head since the Great Reset. And how much more between 2022 and 24? Those figures are hard to come by. But judging from previous years, the average has been some $6 million a year, or more than $500,000 a month. Not a giant sum in these days of multi-billion dollar scams or trillion dollar deficits, but half a million here and a half a million there every month for more than a decade. After a while, it adds up, especially when it's going from already heart-strapped, if not downright impoverished, U.S. taxpayers to one of the most sinister, autocratic, and corrupt collections of ultra-rich parasites on the planet. Yet, for some reason, some strange reason, only now, at the beginning of an election year, do the Republican politicians who made no objections to this scam when it continued unabated under Trump finally start squawking about it. Yes, the Uniparty. Doesn't matter who you put in. The system underneath doesn't go away either. Trump never got rid of it, and he likely won't. It's all a big bluster, and again, soundbite stumping. It's what you want to hear. But the con is on here. Again, not the guy in Pakistan. So if one doubts here, the Zionista Israel undue influence on all this as well, or is this is just a mere conspiracy theory of no merit, that the Congress critters on the whole represent you in this case. In this notice here, we read this next article. Deep State, powerful Israeli lobby blocking U.S. withdrawal from Iraq and Syria, former state senator says. A powerful foreign lobby and elements of the American deep state are working to prevent Washington from pulling troops out of Iraq and Syria. Richard Black, a former Republican senator in the Virginia Senate, has told Sputnik. The Israeli lobby is powerful, and the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, fiercely opposes any such U.S. withdrawal, Black explained. Black, 79, served as a member of the Virginia Senate between 2012 and 2020, and before that as a member from the House of Delegates from 1998 to 2006. The Republican former military officer and Army lawyer made headlines in 2014 after sending a letter to Syrian President Bashar Assad thanking the Syrian army for its, quote, heroic rescue of Christians in the Qalamon mountain range as a part of government forces operations against jihadist militants backed by the U.S. and its regional allies. So I just make a quote. They kill Christians, don't they, these Israelis, for all you advocates of Judeo-Christian belief. Another myth. That lobby is powerful. It's undue influence. You understand, I'm going to probably bring this up a couple times, or at least one more if I can remember these tabs. They're undue influence by any group is a problem, and there's not supposed to be any. There's not even supposed to be the appearance of an impropriety, and boy, are we so far away from that. But we look back in that Middle East, and we look at what that one senator said, and we see that there's that influence likely counter to his position, likely Netanyahu all over that one. But we read here that Isis has been itching for a war for illegal belligerent occupier Israel, and what I've been saying there will make any excuse to get all this to be done the way Netanyahu wants without any proof, and certainly not any accountability. And they will lie if need be, because what you going to do about it? This is the real problem. What are we going to do about it? they've tested and tested and tested, and they know nothing. There is no accountability, and the people don't settle, don't stand up to insist. U.S. approved strikes on Iranian targets. Now, I've been saying that they're claiming, the United States government said, we're not going to get American boots on the ground. The every action they're taking is likely going to have to require it, because it's known. I haven't looked at any military writing or any military officer who spoke that says, you just don't do it by airplanes or you just don't do it by missiles. You got to have boots on the ground. And the Israelis are not going to spend their own. It's like to the last Ukrainian. Okay? U.S. approved strikes on Iranian targets. The U.S. will carry out a series of strikes on Iranian personnel and facilities in Iraq and Syria in response to a deadly attack on American troops in Jordan, CBS News reported on Thursday, citing anonymous officials. Tehran has vowed to strike back if its people or interests are threatened. There's also been some communiques that said that behind the scenes and with Trump, they were saying, Iran was telling Trump, you guys did this, we're going to do this. Just, no, we're not going to attack you. We're going to make it look like we're attacking you. And so there's this give and take, tit for tat stuff that's not dangerous that they do behind the scenes, apparently. That's starting to come out. Trump was all for that and then he started to pull the troops out, but not completely. So the reference is to, in this report, Iranian targets in Iraq and Syria. But the words coming from Genocide Joe is more directed. The public noise is more directed at Iran proper. And I'm not sure that the U.S. wants to do that, but the chatter is there, not merely on, quote, as we read, Iranian personnel and facilities in Iraq and Syria, which nevertheless is unlawful in those countries or against the nation invited by Syria or Iraq to help them in their domestic affairs. But it's, even if this is saber-rattling, a cold war against Iran will have dire global consequences to the economy of everyone. As we're watching, just even the Yemeni problem, they're shutting down 20% of the cargo, and then the expense goes up. And then insurance, this is where the big power is, the insurance. Maybe except Russia. And I've explained how they set that up so they could do it. Plus, they're a producer nation, and they don't have a lot of people relative to the landmass. Lots of stuff that's very interesting just watching, but very interesting in the give and take of it. Russia's going to come out, I believe, smelling like a rose, as they said. Three U.S. troops killed here, someone's daughter and sons, respectively, as I understand, were not in Jordan, but most embarrassingly for the U.S. government, in Syria, as I've been telling you, again, keep the truth, I got to keep the truth going. They keep saying it's in Jordan. All these reports do it, even the ones from Russia, from Sputnik and RT, and it wasn't. I haven't found any evidence that it was anywhere outside of the Al-Tanf base, right around that area. And this is inside the border of Syria. And these are your sons and daughters that just got hit. And this Al-Tanf base is another belligerent occupier. It has no right of self-defense. And it's really susceptible. And it's been told, the United States have been told to get out of our countries. It is us. It's not something that is a threat to us. That's you. And so we can handle it from here. Three troops that were killed were National Guard reserves from the border state of Arizona, shipped to illegally occupy Syria in Syria, and the U.S. is also unlawfully occupying Iraq, even after numerous demands by the Iraqi government to leave. And the U.S. says no boots on the ground going to fight there, but there are many reports now that the National Guard reserves from many states are being mobilized in part to go to the Middle East. And this fulfills the two objections, the objectives, as I was saying before in another prior broadcast, if they are one here, removing your sons and daughters from this country to guard this, the state guard to protect here, and if Civil War 2.0 is said to go live, this protection number two would be to put your sons and daughters in harm's way, but for the psychopaths in Congress bribed to put your sons, undue influence by the Israeli lobby, to put your sons and daughters, fathers, wives, brothers, and sisters, there for Israel, and to distract from the failing economic system they continue to allow to exist. So start putting these places and pieces in together and watch what goes on. And it's coming through as you watch these news articles, what I've been suggesting an outcome would be relative to these motions and actions. And if it is a uniparty, and in that state to state, these are military districts, a state of condition, not a state of the people anymore, substituted, overthrown, then these are all these officials you see are playing a game, and that's what I'm real concerned about. I'm not really sure about the border thing. There's quite a number of avenues that are illegitimate, essentially, under what they're doing. At any rate, so what I'm skeptical of almost everything anymore. It's almost pathetic in a way. Can't trust anything, and I said that might be the case, but you still got to keep looking very carefully. We don't want to be surprised, even so. They want to be thinking they're slick. We want to be a little bit ahead of it. This report goes on further, though, to expose the double standard lies the is-us regime will go through in attempting to justify hitting Iran, where we read, but Biden also told reporters that he holds Iran responsible for the three U.S. troops' deaths, quote, in the sense that they were supplying the weapons to the people who did it. So being the case, if that's actually what they want to, the mountain they want to die on, if that be the rules-based order U.S. policy, then the U.S. is just as culpable for aiding and abetting the genocide of the Semitic people of Palestine, and the cohorts with the belligerent criminal occupier of the Zionist Federation movement, again, a political movement, not a people, which Iran would have right to enter to protect the oppressed Palestinians. In fact, there doesn't seem to be any material evidence of support by Iran, or not more than any other country provides its weapons to any nation, as the U.S. also does, such as in Ukraine, and the U.S. regime questions Putin about doing that. Again, look away, don't look at me, that kind of thing. It would be a start here if every government selling weapons to another nation would be transported to a daily submersible island in the South Pacific Sea, I think. We could start getting at this really quickly. We'll move those people to those little submersible islands. I think it'd be kind of interesting to just let Davy Jones handle it for us. But they aren't, so we have to hear Genocide Joe point the finger at Iran while three more fingers point back and to your sons and daughters to pick up the tab. And I also understand the United States has said they have no proof Iran's done a thing, notwithstanding its connections. So don't move past those admissions that the perpetrator's actually doing, the confessions that are going on. So if Iran has the technology here, people will find out soon enough. The boots don't have to be on the ground for you to lose your sons and daughters told to defend an interest of the United States of Israel. Not getting here the foreign entanglements is a thing, folks. Contravening that sound principle has dire consequences. And I hope that our people will take cognizance and make important those truths that the Founding Fathers knew. Whatever our feeling about the nature of the Founding Fathers, whether or not we enjoy what their aspirations are today, because it was substituted, and maybe permanently so. As I've said, there's been an argument in a long time, since the 90s, I think, that someone said that we were conquested, and since then I just haven't been able to say that we're conquested. Conquest is something where you don't come back as a people. That's the only distinction between a conquest and the other capacity, which you have a right to come back from. So they're going to do it psychologically. That's the only other way they can get you. You just don't step up. And over time, over generations, they get you. So another type of con is license to kill. The Ukrainian website Molfar, created with the assistance of the UK intelligence, started a hunt for Western journalists and public figures. Human rights activists of the Foundation of the to Battle Injustice exposed the activities of the Ukrainian website Molfar, which collects and discloses personal data of journalists and public figures from Western countries to advocate peace and criticize NATO. Let me offer, I don't think this is actually governmental funded. It's just pro-Ukrainian, if I have this correct. But it is a very serious website relative to what its intentions and what it's promoting. And you know, people are kind of crazy that way. They make just actually do what they're instructed to do. Now here, the site transformed into a repressive mechanism by the SBU, it says, with the help of Zelensky. I'm not sure there's proof of that, but let's keep going because it is a site. It does name people, and I think some people have died from it, and poses a serious threat to Western public figures and politicians, defaming their personal and professional reputations, imposing an immediate threat to their lives and duty. The Foundation to Battle Injustice has obtained evidence of the start of a campaign to physically eliminate people from the MOFAR database, carried out under the direct orders of the British MI6. Taking into account the experience of analyzing the activities of such sites obtained during the series of investigations on the Ukrainian nationalist site Myrot Oretz, human rights defenders of the Foundation to Battle Injustice are forced to note a possible increase in the number of attacks, assassination attempts, and murders of people listed in the MOFAR databases. None of the sources of the Foundation to Battle Injustice could not explain why MOFAR moved to an active phase of activity against its enemies precisely in late 2023, early 2024. According to the interlocutor of the Foundation to Battle Injustice in the SSU, MOFAR is following the instructions of the British security services, which in turn are broadcasting their dissatisfaction with the growth of anti-British and anti-NATO sentiments and lack of successes of the Ukrainian armed forces in the battlefield. The sources suggested that a series of attacks on journalists and public figures from the MOFAR list, which will begin in the near future, should, quote, calm the fervor of critics of the Ukrainian and British governments and give London time to reconsider its strategies toward Ukraine. Before I miss, and we're going to go on now, to someone who is on that list, I thought I saw confirmed, Boris Johnson just came out on this next group of stories I'm going to talk about. The big news this week, the historic news, an event. And the gentleman is called Tucker Carlson. Boris Johnson called Tucker Carlson a traitor. And if this is a British-backed website that names people that need to be attacked or assassinated, this is a very serious allegation by Boris Johnson, who really needs to be on a small outcropping in the South China Sea. That submersible type. And so let me move on now to Tucker Carlson. This is really, I think, a big news about someone on the MOFAR list, but that's not really the focus. That, it's come like after the fact. He was on it before, and now he's been brought up, and Boris Johnson, named by Putin, has called Tucker Carlson a traitor. I don't know how he's a traitor to the UK. He doesn't live there. But at any rate, this is what happens, this is what starts to happen. And though I think this would have been a non-story in another life, here we is, folks. Tucker Carlson posts video from Moscow on why he's interviewing President Putin. High-profile U.S. political commentator Tucker Carlson said on Tuesday that he decided to interview Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow because it's his professional duty, as well as to inform Americans about the realities of the conflict in Ukraine. Quote, we're in Moscow tonight. We're here to interview the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, Carlson said in a video posted to the renowned social media platform X, formerly Twitter. Here, he says, we're doing it. First, because it's our job, we're in journalism. Our duty is to inform the people. Most people in the United States are not informed about the conflict of Ukraine and have no idea what is happening in the region, the veteran news commentator said. The conflict in Ukraine is a human disaster that has killed off an entire generation of Ukrainians, Carlson added, pointed out that it has also reshaped global military and trade alliances. We paid for this trip ourselves. We took no money from any government or group, Carlson stressed in a video. So to which legacy extinction event level dinosaur media howled that they didn't get an opportunity despite the numerous requests. And it was just said that, well, they did make the request, but they weren't chosen. The article goes on and adds the interview with Putin will be freely available online, Carlson said, adding that Elon Musk vowed not to suppress an interview on X, which I found fascinating. Why would he vow to put something on the town hall, right? Okay, so that there's a whole other thing that starts to, there's a promotion going on here. However, we'll keep on going because the interview in any other time would have been important. It wouldn't have been a personal attack against Tucker or a threat. It would have been showing something of the day and the time. And those come up periodically. And so I posted before Elon responded, and anyway, why would Elon have to vow to do anything in this regard? Not that he couldn't, but that he could, as if he, in defiance, that he wouldn't, that he was opposed to not. I responded to the Carlson video explaining why he is doing his job and his duty and his calling here. And I said, from X and my own Twitter, I feel embarrassed for our society that Tucker Carlson had to explain this. And I don't know even how to describe my sense of this. That this became an issue is really a disgrace. That it was a big deal in the negative way is a disappointment. Beyond, I mean, I can't even think more about that, how big of a disappointment it is that we're living in a day, in a time when we believe, as people believe, you have free speech, freedom of the press, this and that, the fourth pillar that protects democracy, if you will. And yet, someone who does finally get into a world leader gets threatened. A lot of people stand about and watch it. But after that goes on, and despite my embarrassment, it's announced that Tucker Carlson interviewed Putin on Tuesday. U.S. journalist Tucker Carlson interviewed Russian President Vladimir Putin on February 6th. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Wednesday, quote, "Yes, I can confirm this," Peskov told reporters when asked if Putin was interviewed. Additionally, the official said that the Kremlin gets lots of requests to interview with Putin, including from the Western media, but many of them lack impartiality. And that an alleged transcript that he was talking about in this article of Putin's interview that came out immediately, but before, I think right before, was published, it was a fake. So something, you start looking, there's an operation going on to discredit this whole thing, which, really, like I said, in another day, it wouldn't have been so historic. However, because of, I think, the world we live in now, it becomes, and that becomes an interesting promo all by itself. But Russia responds more completely to the fake news mongrel howlings here. Kremlin explains why Putin chose Tucker Carlson for an interview after saying the news is not impartial in America. And remember, we got Trump saying it's fake news. Well, we also know better. Smith-Month Act, they allows the government through its media to lie to its own people. So Dmitry Peskov revealed on Tuesday why Russian President Vladimir Putin agreed to an interview by the former Fox host. Tucker Carlson maintains a position that differs from that of other Western journalists, according to Peskov. And again, if you're critically thinking about this, you're looking at what's going on, they're telling people a thing here. You'd think that would have caused the media system to pay attention, but it doesn't. Again, it's not about what we thought. It's about what they can get us to thought. Huh? He says, his stance is by no means pro-Russian, and it is not pro-Ukrainian. Rather, it's pro-American, the spokesman said. But at least it differs from the stance of all these traditional Anglo-Saxon media. Boy, these are just digs right at UK as well, if you start looking at what's going on. And here being, and I look, keep reading, and you see it being a class act, this guy, not taking any credit on his own, he says. The report goes on to explain he refrained from providing any further details about the interview. He quote, he says, after all, it was his Carlson's interview, so let him share all the details when he's ready to publish it, which I thought was a very classy way to go through there. And you have to, my take on this is listen to how the Russians work. You got to understand them. You just got to understand how they function. And this is just class. This is just diplomacy working all the time in the public. It doesn't mean that we give up and say they're not bad. They're not, they don't have their own agenda. They don't, they're not dangerous at some point for things. Okay? That's not what we're saying here. We're looking at an America that's supposed to have journalists looking and giving the reports, going and getting these reports for us. Tucker Carlson steps up and says, we can't get them. I'm going to try. Russia observes that and for their reasons gives him an audience. So then Elon Musk enters the scene again. The conscience of the world now responds to the EU retaliation against being informed. How dare you folks that you be informed is what's going on. Elon Musk calls EU's proposed sanctions travel ban against Tucker Carlson disturbing. Is that it? This guru, that's the best this guru can come up with? Okay, he's the richest man in the world, yeah, but why is he in the news? Why is his opinion more important than anybody else? He doesn't like he doesn't make mistakes. We can find plenty of them. But here we go. So we see the EU, there was a discussion, a proposal about going after Tucker Carlson. That's not immaterial when you hear that Boris Johnson comes out and actually calls him a traitor. So there's discussion in the background. They may have to backstep after they put their foot in their mouth, but it's in here. It's a psyche in the world that's very dangerous to us people. Elon Musk said on Wednesday that the travel ban proposed to EU lawmakers against Tucker Carlson following his interview with the Russian President Vladimir Putin is disturbing and if enacted would greatly offend the citizens of the United States. And I'm suggesting, yeah, I think it should and it ought to, and then though, so what? What are we going to do about it? We're going to rally up against not maybe just Tucker. You don't have to like him or not like him. I mean, I don't think he's the bee's knees of reporters and journalists. They say he's a commentator. Common potato? I mean, okay, so, but what does he represent? What is he trying to uphold? However you want to agree, does he have, is there a question? This is the other thing I don't like. Does he have a right? Do you side with Tucker? Why is that even a question that a journalist is going to some and talking to a world leader and yet he gets attacked? Is, wow, just beyond. I mean, it's off the scale as far as I can tell relative to if you give any kind of credit, any kind of validity to people that are informed, people that actually are the consent, that they give their consent by the disclosures that they have, and full disclosures of that going on here. It's true that this would be a disturbing, indeed, one may agree with Tucker or not, but he is a major American journalist, and such of an action would greatly offend the American public, Musk wrote on social media X. According to the reports, EU lawmakers are said to be seeking sanctions and travel ban against Carlson for his interview with President Putin. And so we look and we think about on what this, you know, I look at this. This should be a non-issue. And the possibly soon to be extinct EU proposes to silence Tucker as it has many other journalists and news sites, and is just more proof that tractors and semis and piling hay and spraying poo, elections as well, are not the only thing that's needing to be mobilized to protect, in protection of us, we the people, anywhere here. And it's time to kick these occupiers out. These are occupiers operating under color of legitimacy, and they're not actually legitimate. And we've allowed it as people and seemingly everywhere. And the United States is not above this. Because here, where we are today, this becomes historic. This interview becomes historic. And it's why the howling and wailing and gnashing of lamestream entitlement dinosaur media teeth is so pronounced. And why vowing to show the video when Elon would benefit handsomely from the business anyway? All this appears to be a promotion to me. It's quite amazing, actually. And yet, it's still, don't walk away with thinking it's not important. There's a non-understanding in people relative to what they're being told by governments about Russia and Putin. And you've heard me state, coming right out of the gate, about the sanctions, about the war, or the special operations. Putin actually calls this a war now started by Ukraine. And I told you this, there's nothing that I don't think you haven't heard here. There is more detail, but the overall here, listeners behind the woodshed already got this. What's historic is that Tucker has to go and he's got to break through to get two people so they can hear it too. And so we finally here get to the interview, and I got a link for that. And then I have a link from a website that also has the text, so you can read it if you want to go through. And I think some of this information's really important to maybe have if you're going to do any study on this, on what a head of state that's in the middle of a changing and transforming world is, the thought process, the basis from which he claims he works, and what it looks like to me was a basic ignorance moving forward here that I think Putin analyzed correctly. And it was, to me, it's almost like a master teaching a student in a way. And so, like I said, I'm not so sure about Tucker, what all he could. I couldn't even come up with a question relative to the subject matter because I don't think, as I've said before, Russia's told us where they are. They have their reasons. The West is not listening. He said that again. And Tucker Carlson came with an absence of all that knowledge, that any questions that I was trying to figure out would be not about that, because that's fairly well settled. They're doing that amongst themselves. It's just the interference of the United States, which the United States people, or American people, don't seem to quite fully appreciate at all. But the questions for me would have been beyond, like I've been talking about. Well, why are you bringing sustainable development to the world? It destroys countries. It's understood to be a Soviet. Why do you deny being Soviet when you're actually promoting it in the future? And so my analysis at all, my thoughts aside, Tucker's got this position. He was approved. He was looked down by Russia and said, well, he's not for us or against us. He's not for them, the other side. He's coming for some questions. Let's go ahead and bring it on. That neutrality, that neutral response, just to get an interview, hit all the wokeness up, woke them up. They got appalled. They started to shoot off their mouth, and then they got caught. So we have an update on the EU proposal. The EU rules out Tucker Carlson sanctions, but listen very carefully. And listen, this is the sort of nemesis we have in these Western bureaucracies, these rat-infested ships of state-ish. Commenting on the Newsweek report, TASS, task source in the EU Council, stressed that sanctions against Carlson are off the table for now. He explained that this would require a legal basis proving that a person, quote, is threatening and undermining the sovereignty of a territorial integrity of Ukraine. We have no serious reasons to blacklist this journalist at this stage, the source added. At this stage, off the table for now, is yet, folks. They can't make something up against Carlson yet. Can anyone else hear Julian Assange in this as well? So this State Department stepping up to protect an American citizen's rights and press and the freedom of expression and the right of others to acquire the same or the use of this information, whether or not to oversee the faithful execution of the relative fiduciaries of the government to the people, and in this post-founding Father Lincolnized America, is not protected by the perpetual D.C. occupiers at all. And so we didn't hear the government of the United States coming to say, you better not do that, or we're going to pull your funding, or why don't you go ahead and rethink that so we don't have to talk about this. And the fact that the United States didn't step up to protect an American citizen doing his calling, his job, his right under the Constitution knows you're dealing with an occupier in Washington. And all I can say, this is a disgrace, absolute disgrace. They're not even trying hard. They're not even trying to ameliorate the problem, the Western problem that goes on in this world. But sit back and allow the idea that they could threaten of journalists. They admit he's a journalist, so it's not even like the question of Julian Assange, even. It used to be here, in particular, the height of some international beef. Any journalist allowed an audience with a top world leader, it didn't end there either, just because you got the audience. Then you were tested to subsequently prove their journalistic prowess by engaging and enlightening an interview, earned their cred by doing so. The propaganda aside for the moment that we hear that it ends up being, but you were chosen, you were of an elite, and that was your cred. Then if you failed, then you were judged on that, and then you weren't. So that it wasn't just, oh, I got picked and I'm such a good guy or good gal. No, this used to be a big deal. And it used to be nothing more than that. It was just wait and watch, and then you could go throw your snowballs at everybody at the end of the interview. But today here, even before the interview, the chosen journalist is condemned. This is an incredible professional jealousy. From, I can tell, again, it's just an embarrassment. But it just shows you how fallen so-called media, this mass media, really is. Jealousy, that's a G-lousy to the grammar and syllabically challenged like I am here. G-lousy journalists, if they can be called that, being government propaganda agents, but through pursuant to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Con in sewers we have, and I don't know what more to say. The reason why he went there was because there is this censorship wall. How disgraceful is this? How embarrassing this is relative to the United States. This is why the howling and the gnashing of teeth. So it's easy to dismiss the unworthy mainstream Barba wah-wahs out there, but not when official power comes to bear to threaten, silence, or not protect. Why is it? So that caused me to think, why is America weak? It's just for that reason, except for the newsworthiness of a journalist interviewing an historic figure in historic times. This otherwise non-newsworthy incident is blown up as it is evidence of why the U.S. is weak. This should not have been a thing. That it is, says we don't have the power anymore. Carlson should get, and likely history will give Carlson his cred here. If it's also decided that he's providing a hard-hitting interview, I don't mean by the woke determination that he did, and I don't know, I'm not so sure, but we'll see. He did get the interview, he did bring up some points, and I think he has the cred because he did expose some things for those that will listen. This will be interesting bit to see here, whether that happens. But it's not newsworthy in one sense, because I believe Putin has already told all the truth Americans needed to hear if and they bothered to listen, or listen with less vacuum between the ears. If you listen to the conversation, yeah, a lot more detail, but nothing generally new, actually. And Putin was allowed to do that because of Tucker's ignorance. But he said he didn't know. He wanted to hear. But moreover, what does shed some light? Russia acknowledging that Carlson is not a supporter of Russia when saying Tucker Carlson maintains a position that differs from that of the Western journalists, according to Peskov, that his stance is by no means pro-Russian, and it is not pro-Ukrainian, rather it's pro-American. Well, such that it is. And I guess we can dither on that a bit. But I'm not surprised there was no new revelations that came from this, despite Carlson's admitted ignorance on the history of the territory, which was disappointed. It did open the door for Putin to explain the history and culture surrounding those people there, the historic countries involved, their interaction, the wars, the agreements, the customs, the habits. And I think that was important for people to hear. And I hope it contributes, that understanding contributes to a cessation of the hostilities very soon, though the warmongering West may not allow it. And it was clear that no more U.S. monetary and material support would help that. But for those pesky criminal Congress critters and their printing press and the American backs that support it. They're saying that if the United States would stop supporting this, it goes over. It's done in a few weeks. Very interesting. Again, you haven't not heard that they did a peace agreement. Boris Johnson came in and nixed it, and now he's calling Carlson a traitor? No, there's some real inside job going on here. And I hope, well, we'll see. Carlson should be able to take care of himself. It's just this noise. And I think people need to step up. If we want to see more things, more Malfar list, execution lists, and or people like Assange that keep information from us, well, I guess we can keep quiet. Here, this interview, the power is in this is the notoriety it is bringing that people will listen a bit differently. And I hope people do that. That the already known truth gets through to enough people. That it makes a difference. That we avoid war or more war and start to focus inward here on the lunatics bringing America low. That's what I'm hoping while our people silently watch or by inconsequential complaint we always seem to have, or as if parroting the entitled yet unworthy mass media wow-as, the failure of prior duty and obligation to the people that they think yet exists in the America that needs to be kept. We, the people, have this obligation. Let's say, without deciding, anyway, one side of the Tucker Carlson, acknowledged journalist, is doing something that is to benefit us and protected in a constitution. And if he's being attacked, we're all being attacked, is all I can kind of figure here. So this, in my mind, it shouldn't have been so historic, but it is. And this is the problem. We're watching kind of anomalies coming through, and I think those are always important. Before I go any further, this is, for those of you that we want to know, it's BTWRLM563. If you want to get the file, then you came in late. I did it here a little bit late again, but here we go. I'm going to try and remember at the end. I missed it again last time, but so moving through again, historic, non-historic issue that became one because of all the noise, showing you the people that are wow-wowing are the problem. They really are the problem. But the professional, just a professional jealousy, lousy journalists. I just can't think more about it. Again, I don't think Tucker Carlson's that great a journalist in some regard. Yeah, he gets the points, and yeah, he kind of like a politician in a little bit. He takes the pulse of the people. He knows what they're interested in. But hard-hitting, I don't know. I'm not so sure. Walking into a place where you have to be schooled by the one you're talking to, and you allow him to school you because you didn't quite understand the basics, something that they've already talked about, something anybody could read. You heard about it behind the woodshed. It's not like I'm some historical scholar. That he didn't know, he opens the door for Putin's position. And he's been saying, they said it right in the interview, that people aren't listening to us. And so when he got the opportunity, his whole point was to inform people on the history of those people and how they work stuff out. And the United States is intruding. And they now have a problem. The United States does. And Russia can't solve that problem for them. They were prepared enough to have the proof in writing about how some of this worked out and handed it to them to show you how prepared this was. And so they did their part. And so I'm not so sure about Tucker, although he did, for it to his credit, he was quiet after a while and let Putin go ahead and give a history lesson, which is, I guess people could think it's boring, but when you're understanding that there's genocide going on of the Ukrainian people, that there's, in that area has just been, well, the Holodomor, all this stuff, it's just terrible in that area. Those people have to work that out. No outside interference. Maybe it's time to listen to how things have been going, whether or not Putin has it quite right, whether or not the people are want to, outside looking in, want to condemn him or them, the nation. There are truths that he was able to get out, and Tucker, to his credit, was able to break down the censorship wall with it. I heard 100 million people looking at this. I want people to have an understanding of this. This is not a hard deal to figure out and understand. It's not so complicated. It's made complicated by these multi-dinosaur media wow-wows speaking the government line. And here to get, move on here, to get some more truth about this Russian-Ukraine situation, similar to what Putin does in the video and how he schooled the history student Carlson, admittedly Carlson's study in university, I suppose, and beyond this noisome woke wow-as, I'm going to provide a link to a breaking story for my listener to read to familiarize yourself with the historic territorial and political complexities that have that envelop that Russian-Ukrainian situation that has many dimensions, that among many things, this reminded me of at least one reason not to allow foreign entanglements, and when in doing so shows no interest in such a trespasser such as the United States under any color of a euphemistic legalism in people living there or their history, culture, habits, or customs. I consider as well the historic claims of the Crimean Tartars. If you listen inside, he doesn't talk about that, but it's very interesting. Another group of people inside of this, in the lands that are being under question, which seems to be the new 1930s Ukrainian political definition for Ukraine of what ethnic appears to be to violate. The word ethnic appears to violate by this 1930s imposition of what Ukraine is. Putin gives a slightly different definition. He alludes to this Ukrainization, which is interesting as well, though. In this article, it points to some of this, which appears to be a violation, which also appears to be yet another euphemism to create an invalid argument, this 1930s imposition relative to that land. Remember, Ukraine's only formally created as a state in 1991, so this is a long-term, no different than the Zionista movement. Long-term theory kind of coming through to reshape the place that is not the will of any of the countries either. So there's a lot going on in this place. It's pretty fascinating in some regard. But what I just look at, a lot of people are dying now, and because someone interjected, a foreigner interjected, and Russia's saying, back off. You've caused a problem, now you have to fix it. We can't fix it for you, but you're going to have to come to terms, and you're going to have to listen to us. And he explains what's going to happen here. He's even kind of saying what the news intimated. He's not, I guess he wouldn't be adverse to watching Hungary step back in and grab some of Ukraine, and Romania grab some more of Ukraine, and they just kind of parse it out. He says it's a synthetic state, false state, as I was saying to you before. It's not really a sovereign state at all by its own creation. But I guess I won't comment more but on this article here, this report, but it's an introduction and to say that it needs to be read for a better comprehension of what is at stake there and how to better parse the information and demands and declarations or actions of those involved in this territorial this territory known as Sloboda Ukraine or Slobos Huns China, or to give here people in that territory there their historic due, to work things out for themselves as they have done. Even though people died, they've worked it out. And long before the United States was a gleam in the eye of King England, or the endowed mistress called the Netherlands here, we can read though Zelensky's new delusion. This article gives us another factual historic representation in some context. Brings up stuff inside of, actually, I found, I had read this before Putin had made his comments, and so I was able to kind of follow through with this one as well. But why has the Ukrainian leader decided to claim multiple regions of Russia? President Vladimir Zelensky's decree on Russia lands historically inhabited by Ukrainians opens a hornet's nest. RT explores why Vladimir Zelensky started a territorial dispute with Russia 2 years ago into the military conflict, explains who had historically inhabited the border regions and who resides there today, and comments on what makes Ukraine's imperial project vulnerable. So one doesn't need to like Russia or Ukraine in order to be better informed on this, on a trespass that your domestic representatives, so-called here, are committing the organized crimes in your name or and at your expense and in their accountable offices of profit here in the United States. And for those thinking it doesn't touch them, a president showing his extreme respect of you in adopting a campaign suggestion said, it's the economy, stupid, and won on that. And we suffer all this time since the continuing economic theft and indignity today about to explode exponentially. And so this is, I'm talking history stuff, this is all working through, and Putin mentioned this, okay? So this is very interesting how, again, I read this before, and then Putin's talking and moving our time schedule way back to, I'll give the name, Clinton, and before. And so this gentleman, in the Putin, is a very interesting character in history as well. He's been around a long time, and then Carlson points that out. And so we can't disregard that or their view or their opinions or their take. And I've said before, they're very seemingly very pragmatic. It doesn't mean you don't be careful, you drop your guard, but you should. That Tucker Carlson had a question about why Putin was giving a history lesson is Tucker Carlson's failure to not do his homework before then. That was the whole thing that Russia's been complaining about. No one's listening to their history or what they're saying. Why they're saying it is because of all that. So before we leave Ukraine, another important consideration, Kremlin comments on no account Nuland's latest Kyiv trip visits, again, this occupier coming in to interject itself, the United States coming in, no account Nuland here now, that was, used to be called the Madon, mistress of Madon or something, visit. I thought that was too nice for her, she's really evil. Visits on top of the top U.S. official never mean anything good for Ukraine, Dmitry Peskov says. U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Victoria Nuland's visit to Ukraine has always been an ill omen for the embattled country. Quote, as a rule, Victoria Nuland's visit to Kyiv does not bring anything good. We remember this from 2014 when she was handing out cookies, Peskov said. Subsequent to no goodnik Nuland's recent visit, though, Ukraine struck a bakery, killing and maiming many people. I think about 28 people died where Ukraine struck a bakery, of all things. The spokesman here in this article says referred to the infamous episode of Ukraine's Maidan turmoil. At the time, Nuland's assistant of Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs showed up in Kyiv amid unrest in early December 2013, giving out snacks to protesters. Ne'er-do-well Nuland traveled to Kyiv on Wednesday, teasing new battlefield surprises for Russia to get, so it's set to get supplied to Ukraine. The official said that the ground-launched small-diameter bomb munitions, which can strike targets at distances of 150 kilometers, were already on their way to Kyiv. The delivery comes from the so-called Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative, which focuses on procuring military hardware for Kyiv from private contractors rather than tapping into Washington's own stocks, the Pentagon explained. Here's what I said earlier in the broadcast. They're going to go around even the government now. Going to go private. Public and private partnerships, folks. I told you this is going to be our nemesis going out. This all has to be stopped. So how many ways here can you launder a weapon? Here's another. If my listener thought the budget would be a constraint, let a private contractor do it. The article goes on, the looming delivery has been condemned by Moscow, with Russian Ambassador of the United States Anatoly Antonov stating it looked particularly cynical in the aftermath of Kyiv's shooting down of the I-76 Russian cargo plane with the Ukrainian prisoners of war on board. Here's the latest evidence showing that the United States Patriot missiles were used that murdered those Russian flight crew and the 65 POWs. The United States is denying it sent it. It was gone through one of its partners, which looks like it's either the Netherlands, again, or Germany. So we'll watch that one, too. Ukraine used them to commit a war crime. Enough said about that part. But here, no, ne'er-do-well Nuland brought baked goods, and then the second time she shows up, they go and toast a bakery in the Donetsk area. Not good people. So what will no good Nuland's heinous gifts bring for democracy now? Remember, this is all supposed to be for the United States interests, like they say over there in Israel, in Palestine. Well, nothing is going to come, and certainly not measures to save Ukraine. Not cookies and donuts. She's likely to bring more innocent civilian deaths, because there are no innocent civilians anywhere anymore since the United States insisted the Zionist Federation go rabid and paying for it. And no innocence means no presumption of innocence for the other than the self-chosen. And if you don't feel you have you're presumed innocent in your country and in your America where you're supposed to be, then maybe that's a clue of the kind of people that are running your country and the type of governance they're running over you. And so we've got a lot of things to come to terms with in the United States of America at this point before we can be again a beacon at all. Putin, in his interview with Carlson, said, there's some power left in the United States. If they make the right decisions, they can be proper in the world again. And absolutely, this has to get rid of the regimes that are taking us down, laying us low. And apparently, as I can read the documents, the people are responsible to that because they were given the right to alter and abolish maladministration of government. And no one's ever tested that. No one's ever done it. And when we thought we did, it wasn't really the same reason. The South tried to remove itself, not alter and abolish the maladministration of government in Washington, D.C. There's even a difference there. So we got a lot to think about as people. I don't know how we're going to do it. Maybe reallibertymedia.com and the distribution system and all the things we might be able to come from that may be able to integrate stuff in the background. I got this vague idea maybe that's possible with what's coming up. So that's, I guess, partly I'm excited a bit because there's a slight potential. We can make communication lines behind the communication system and be somewhat sure that it's going to be autonomous. We'll see. There's really not a lot of autonomy. So it's pseudo-autonomy, I guess. Non-anonymity, I guess the word is. But cookies here, we go around this, continue on this article. Cookies, anyone? Half-baked pastries from No Good Newland. Dozens feared missing after Ukrainian attack on a bakery in a Russian city, as I was saying. This is just a horrendous thing. Just disgraceful what our government, the United States government, is doing in these places. And it's so new. I think the Russians decided they're just going to let us mess stuff up, and they'll just sit by and protect themselves. And that's what they're doing. Essentially, we're watching. There's no continuing statement of no threat to anybody. And as Putin said, why would we need to? And then going to nuclear wars, it's insanity. Why would we do that? Humanity dies. Humanity is destroyed at that point. Why would we do that? We're talking about understanding this is a totality thing that he understands. Apparently, the West doesn't, because the West keeps rattling their darn glowing saber. But Ukrainian forces on Saturday targeted a bakery located in Russian city of Lysychansk, Lugansk People's Republic, killing at least, it was about 28 people now. They were killed by a bakery being attacked. There's many, many, many injured. Just to show you that when Newland showed up at Kiev and Peskov says she doesn't mean any good, that's what happened while she was there. So I have to kind of agree with them. Feel sorry for those people. I don't understand why Russia... Well, I do kind of understand. It's a very difficult battle that's going on. And they've had Ukraine has a lot of time to dig in, and so that's a very slow process. These drones have really changed the scope and scale of the war, and so it's a little bit slower going and in an entrenched type of situation. So anyway, if we can cause peace, we get rid of that. That's what I'm hoping for people. I hope Tucker Carlson's interview gets that. He's credited for doing that much. Even in his ignorance, I think I make a comment to that. Even in his ignorance, he's allowed Putin to explain, and I hope people hear that much. Moving on here, you probably haven't heard the ICJ today threw out almost all the cases brought against Russia by Ukraine over the invasion. This is important based on what the ne'er-do-well Newland is talking about attacking Russia. Ukraine made complaints that Russia was committing genocide. The ICJ made a decision. There's an ongoing thing going on. I don't know if many people have heard about it. Now there's a decision on this. This is a hugely significant because effectively Ukraine and its Western backers poured enormous time, energy, and money into proving everything Western media governments were saying about the Maidan government's brutal Donbass crackdown for 8 years was true. And they failed. Last year, it is also another eerily unnoticed bombshell, a UN commission specifically set up to prove genocide in Ukraine ruled there was none. Ukraine had teams of U.S. and British lawyers and Western government orgs trying to unearth evidence of genocide, and they found nothing. Nothing, nada, zip. So this is a big story right here about what we hear claiming what Russia's been doing in the court. However, it's a Western-influenced court. It's an Israeli-influenced court as well. One of the judges just got threatened and called it out. So this is an interesting political dynamic as well. But another story on here, not so good news for Newland. This was a very good day for Russia. This was a final ruling. There's no appeal possible for Nan Van Tetz, France's 24's correspondent, reporting from the ICJ today. There's a video from The Hague and why this ruling is such a victory for Russia. She'll explain it. I also found and dug up the link for the order. The court, and just an excerpt from that, the court finds that it has jurisdiction to entertain Ukraine's request for a declaration that it did not breach its obligations under the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, and that this request is admissible. They then find that there was no wrongdoing, that they did not argue, discuss, and decide that there was genocide. Very fascinating turn inside this case. But I give you the link to see the order so you can read for this. That nothing came down against Russia. There was some small stuff, but nothing major like what the Ukraine, United States, and UK all together. Understand this group of trespassers. The government of Ukraine is even seemingly to be a trespasser as well, that it agreed to this stuff. So beyond its own agreement, so to Russia and other countries around it. So I'd like to give that to you so you can read. You can see that there's at least been gone before a court to analyze what's going on. Russia hasn't been found to be committing genocide. And if that means if Ukrainian soldiers are dying, it's being caused by their own government and the United States and Britain, if you can run that backwards. So and I move this along because of this political dynamic and all these people that have a say in the politics that's going on. Fast becoming political wah-wah here. RFJ Jr. slams America's attack on Syria and Iraq. Remember, we're sitting over there as belligerent occupiers. We're not doing what we said. We lied like we have been lying anywhere else. We interject ourselves. We're doing it over there for Israel's sake, not our own. But RFK comes out and slams the American attacks. The U.S. presidential candidate urged Washington to get unwelcome troops out of the Middle East. The U.S. Central Command says it hit 85 Iranian-linked targets in Syria and Iraq in retaliation against the recent Iranian-affiliated fighters attack that killed 3 U.S. servicemen in Jordan. The lie is it wasn't in Jordan. The lie is the United States admitted it, they can't prove the Iran affiliation. Yes, there's some agreement, but they haven't shown the connections. Certainly could not do it in a court of law, and they came out and admitted they can't do it. But this is a bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Remember, that's what this is about. So first off, I've yet to see a credible report that the resistance to the U.S. occupation occurred in Jordan, but it seems more proof of in the Al-Tanf in Syria, and Jordan denies the participation in the strikes. They were said to be striking that condition. They came out and said no, which participation I think was floated to likely cover for the Zionist Federation unlawful participation. Together, these are known, the United States and Israel are known as I've deemed it, not is, but is us, ISUS, Israel and the United States. So those two points aside, the United States makes a big to-do about the Iranian linkage, and so why don't we hear about the U.S.-linked ISIS or the Al-CIA, duh. Why don't we hear about that side when they keep poking at what the Iran linkage is? What about our culpability? Why didn't we hear about either ISIS or Al-CIA, duh, all this time since as well? If you notice, they just kind of disappeared. And we know this, the reports that Israel was helping so-called ISIS. That's why it said, no, it's ISIS. Israel and the United States are working through fabricated oppositions. So do you think if the United States would have put as much effort in long-range bombing ISIS and Al-CIA, duh, that they'd be gone already and our sons and daughters wouldn't be dying for an illegal occupation, a presence in a foreign land contrary to the sovereignty of those countries and contrary to international law or on the basis of a fraud? You think this would have been done? I think, again, I ask rhetorical questions. They should be clear on our face that this is a major lie. People are dying, and it's over a big lie. And we, the United States, should not be where it's at. And I guess there's a lot of opponents to that idea, and I guess I'd be an Iranian apologist or something. But that's a lie. That's just what people say when they're caught. When they're going to point their finger at something, but they can't do, they're not, they have no integrity, they have no moral, they have no law basis in them. These are evil, evil people. They look normal too. This is the other thing. So, if I asked that as a question, it would be a trick question. So, again, like the rhetorical part of this. So I hope my astute listener here can parse that to derive the correct response in all this. I said it. I said it again. It's is us. It's the answer to that position and conundrum, rhetorical question, is us. Israel and United States. We can read, Iraq has rebuked the United States over the airstrikes, saying they constitute a violation of Iraqi sovereignty and pose a threat that could lead Iraq and the region into dire consequences. The Syrian military has quoted by SANA news agency, denounced the raid as the aggression of the American occupation forces. So this is out of the words of the mouth of the people who have the territory there. These are occupation forces, belligerent occupiers, lawless. So who or what does the American soldier serve there actually? This sounds like those operating under the color of Jordan to me. How about to my listener? Jordan says, it wasn't us participating, but there was jets. It wasn't Jordan's. Who else's jets were they if they're not the United States? Who did admit to doing it? So looking between the lines of the stories and who says what, you can start parsing the story and find out who's doing what, and then we have to decide if they're doing it in our name, any people's, they're doing it in our name, is it right, and are we going to sit back and let it go on? The atrocities that they are, another hint, and people around the world are certainly taking immediate notice here now, not being persuaded by the criminality of the West. We see strikes against the anti-ISIS militias in Syria and Iraq prove U.S. war on terrorism as a sham. So we better come to terms really quickly about this. Dozens of people in Syria and Iraq were killed Saturday during a morning, during the United States fired precision munitions into the two countries against 85 targets ranging from the command and control and intelligence centers to logistical bases issued by anti-ISIS militias. Why are they attacking anti-ISIS militias, folks? You see in the story about Israel striking an ancient citadel, the U.S. strikes included an attack which hit the citadel of Al-Rabah, a regional ancient architectural marvel now, whose history goes back to the 9th century A.D. Now that's a war crime. You're not supposed to touch that stuff. Striking ancient citadel sounds like a Zionist hit to cancel their culture, advancing the infamous Oded Yinon Plan, the Great Israel Project, as I could find it again. The Yinon Plan is an Israeli strategic plan to ensure Israeli regional superiority. It insists and stipulates that Israel must reconfigure its geopolitical environment through the balkanization of several surrounding Arab states into smaller and weaker states. It is said the plan follows faithfully the geopolitical ideas of the current in Germany in 1890 to 1933, which were swallowed whole by the ideas here were swallowed whole by Hitler and Nazi movement and determined their aims for Eastern Europe. So we're to believe the Zionist Federation, aided by Hitler and the King of England, is not some opportunistic Nazi or other political movement, and somehow it's anti-Semitic to equate the genocidal murder of native Semi-Palestinians from their ancestral lands is hate speech or anti-Semitic here? Can you give me a break on this one? Give me a break. This is just so nonsensical when you look past through the history of it. Along with the Citadel, it says IRGC, Saturday strikes targeted the Popular Mobilization Forces, a militia coalition officially affiliated with the Iraqi government, which played a key role in defeating ISIS in fierce battles between 2014 and 2017. But they're attacking ISIS, attacking militias. So what's, again, the sham war of terror, pointing to the PMF's history and anti-terrorist operations, retired U.S. Attorney U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Earl Rasmussen said that the U.S. military strikes are further proof that Washington's operations in the Middle East are not really against ISIS. And so, again, your sons and daughters for working and killing, being killed for someone else. And how dare I put this on a religious footing? Simply because the U.S. does itself, if and I didn't know better. And we read the article, from our perspective, security of Israel should be sacred, says Sullivan. It should not be a political game. From the article, U.S. prepared for war with Iran will take more action, says official, as U.S. strikes kill 40. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the recent retaliatory strikes are just the beginning, claiming the United States is preparing for the contingency of increased tensions with Iran, although they admit Iran has nothing to do with a lot of this stuff. The axis of resistance is independent. They're all working on their own. All these little groups working, and then you hear the Yemenis. Why? It's to stop the oppression of the Palestinians. And then he says here, from our perspective, security of Israel should be sacred. It should not be a political game. Sacred, folks. In creatures within which there's no moral red line, as you're watching and witnessing. So first of all here, your sons and daughters are dying to protect a sacred Israel, which as a matter of official documents is nothing but an immoral political movement. So Jake the Snake Sullivan lies to say it should not be political or a game. This is among many more things politically gaming, but one is free to listen to the forked-tongued Jake the Snake Sullivan, if and that makes genocide and desolation comfortable. It's fascinating what's in the Daily Notice, isn't it? What they'll tell us. And on this desolation moving forward, the death and destruction is all these creatures seem to know. I have this information. I'm not so sure about it, but I want to present it anyway, real quickly, in one regard, just to get it out there. It is from InfoWars. You know, I don't do too much around Alex Jones or InfoWars, but a leaked German military document details countdown to World War III. This document seems here for more like a psychological gameplay, but the world is near the brink as close as I've ever seen to this, with the U.S. and U.K., the Houthi attacks, and then using that to get to Iran. So, for instance, this is incorrect, and you need to be intelligent to know what and where we can read when it says, at a moment when the United States may be without a leader for several weeks after the elections, Russia, with the support of Belarus, repeats the 2014 invasion of Ukraine, but on NATO territory, is not without a leader, even continuity of government in the United States, and Russia nor Belarus invaded Ukraine in 2014. The United States overthrow through the democratically elected government through the 2014 Maidan massacre. Russia had nothing to do with that. And so the continuity of government would continue even if there was a problem with the elections. So this is all seemingly, this is why I don't talk about too much about Alex Jones' stuff or lots of these guys. They kind of mix stuff together. But the planning of this, the reasoning for it could be faulty, but the planning could be there. And no different, we've heard about they were going to take out these Arab states, and again, for Israel this whole time. And I generally agree with the Russian spokesman Peskov, who called this fake news, but this sort of stuff is used to rile up the natives for us here, for their support. Again, it's all about, you know, cognitive warfare management of your trust and confidence. It's another rhythm to the beating of the war drums. And info is on that as well, isn't it? When we just even hear this stuff. So I got a real cautious, but this is still serious machinations, even if for distraction. And I sent a Twitter, I don't know if I'm going to have it for you at all, to Alex Jones' promotion of this article. And I said, sounds like Texiera 2.0. And so this sounds like it may be a placed document by the government. Again, I think it's telling us some potential truths based in wrong facts to give us primus and get us ready and geared up because Iran is a criminal. And yet we look past our own criminality as we read a world entering age of chaos. A UN chief, the intergovernmental organization is more divided at present than it was during the Cold War. its leader has said, remember, okay, so that other plan is coming out. World War III is coming out. I thought we were at World War IV or V by now, aren't we? But anyway, World War III, the plans now at the same time that comes out, then this UN chief talks about we're entering the age of chaos. And in his annual address, presenting his priorities for 2024 to the Security Council in New York, Guterres said that the conflicts of the wars across the globe are creating a dangerous and unpredictable reality for innocent civilians. So that's a war crime out of its face. Again, the military should be going after the military. So we're seeing a real problem right there. However, he's giving us an observation here. But for millions of people caught in the conflict around the world, life is a deadly, daily, hungry hell, Guterres told the United Nations General Assembly. This age of chaos, as he described it, has created a dangerous and unpredictable free-for-all at a time when the United Nations Security Council is deadlocked by the geopolitical fissures, proving here the fecklessness of the UN Security Council, and in particular, even as the UN tries to have itself considered, instead of non-governmental, you hear it here in this article, intergovernmental, as if somehow sovereign belligerents are somehow under the subject and subject to one government of nation states. So listen to the language very carefully here. In stating that the world is entering an age of chaos, he's warning us of the future evidence on the globally dominating fiat currency, U.S. dollar system, where you see it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, new order of the ages, and a new order out of chaos is going on and about to be more earnestly rearing its ugly head against all peoples, he's saying, and I would have to agree, as we're watching it. The rules-based order is just destroying a whole lot of everything. And Russia's sitting there with China, and they're trying to hold on to what they can, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. But they went to another problem. So, and I've talked about that too. So he goes on to say, in referencing the recent proliferation of nuclear weapons, that while the Security Council has experienced division in the past, today's dysfunction is deeper and more dangerous. During the Cold War, well-established mechanisms helped manage superpower relations, he said. In today's multipolar world, such mechanisms are missing. And last but not to be forgotten, the existential threat my listener poses above even these, that and the depopulated future that they want, while distancing everyone from the nature that they are a part of, he says. The UN chief also called on the member states to, quote, make peace with the planet, close quote, by committing to reducing harmful emissions and working to phase out fossil fuels, pointing out that the humanity's war with nature is a crazy fight to pick. Insane is, folks, insane is. It appears to be the future, while the tyrants have any influence or control. Insane is the chaos of the mind here in which they control the people by. And if you don't think so, might I remind my listener about the great Kobe swindle. Confirm now, if and no one else noticed, the world is entering the age of chaos. The time is set. You could add an H on the end of that. We're told Satan is the cause of confusion and chaos. And if and he's that naive that this green religion pantheist devotee thinks carbon is his worst problem, even if and that wasn't a fraud, we've got some real problems here. And speaking of self-inflicted chaos, I love these reports admitting mankind has no clue about his environment, reminding us that the real science is as opposed to the scientism of the expert, whether or not deftly handling a hockey stick, newly discovered dwarf galaxy upending conventional wisdom. And I've talked to you about this over and over again. Always excites me to see. We just don't know, folks. The dwarf galaxy is classified as a galaxy with less than 100 billion stars. Our Milky Way has more than 200 billion stars, and the largest galaxies have more than 100 trillion stars. A team of astronomers out of Arizona State University have identified a dwarf galaxy that should not exist with our current understanding of the universe. How cool is that? No clue. Based upon what we think we know, which is not based for you, meme smiths. Identified as PEARLDG, It is recently studied, recently released study, the dwarf galaxy is unique in that it is no longer producing new stars, but is also is not interacting with any larger galaxies. Arizona State University Assistant Research Scientist Tim Carlton said that the PARLDG should not be expected to exist given our current understanding of galaxy evolution. Folks, we're free to move about the universe again, free to reimagine how this place might actually be put and helped together, and I think my money is on duct tape here. The old stuff, though. How cool is that? Serendipitously find something that's not supposed to be there. The hubris, folks, in us, the hubris. Should we tell Greta of a creation? Other than the sustainable awareness? That's really got to be some kind of special sort of child abuse in her. She now lives with and acts here out of, as a young adult, what she's been inculcated with. And we're finding science doesn't know what it's doing. That's what science is. I mean, we keep finding out. That's the wonder of science, right? But more hubris and intentional deception. How long have they been seeking the cancer cure? And all we have gotten out of this is a biological weapon delivered at warp speed, which causes cancer and many other irreparable harms, holding its victims hostage to Pharma brokers, such as the WHO, the Rock Group, the Owl, or the Little People Who Will, with the World Health Organization, and the predictions that are going in this report. Cancer causes set to soar, 77%, says the WHO. More than 35 million cases are expected in the next quarter century, as a new study warns. The predictive data published on Thursday by the WHO, International Agency for Research on Cancer, said, and you can read this anthropomorphic sustainability version in this article, but I'll save you the time. The report does not mention as a cause the explosion of cancer cases post-COVID-19, nor the novel lab-made substance that WHO passed off as a vaccine, but which has never shown stops transmission and could never show because the infectious agent was never non-fraudulently identified and demonstrated, which is required in all local laws, local communicable disease laws, everywhere, folks. And so we have the purveyors of death here. We want to talk about chaos. It's self-inflicted, but we can believe them or not. There's laws that help protect us for those of us that haven't figured it out. And I can't tell you I knew all this stuff. I just know now where to go look. I hope listening to me, you know where to go look. You at least protect yourself. Learn to get off the track if the train's coming. Learn it, do it before you have to jump. And I think you can help get to other people knowledgeable if you donate to Real Liberty Media. But whenever you hear this, just go to the donate button. Give what you can. The guys and gals behind the scenes are working hard to make this thing better and make it grow. And this would be, I guess I can say it now for the first time. I've been trying. This is BTWRLM 563. And I hope today was maybe a passing through and around the world and back again to show us we got a lot of work to do. They are harming us. They're everywhere. They're psychopaths. They're insane. We got to bring some of the sanity and bring back some normalcy to us, and then we work from our position that is more normalized to us, despite the chaos that's out there. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what. opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.